David, so why in God's name do you put live explosives in these buildings if it was just going to be a sabotage-type test or exercise?
Well, I think all the innocent participants would have believed, quite obviously, that the simulation was nothing more than a simulation. But you can imagine the company, this company AMEC, on the ground, and interestingly enough, Boeing in the air. Insiders of those two companies, or the people who had contracted them to do the sabotage assessment, they would have known if the defenses were stood down sufficiently for them to switch from a real continuity of government exercise with a bogus sabotage attack to a bogus continuity of government exercise and a real sabotage attack. So that's what happened. They discovered that they could get the United States Air Force to stand down on the basis the United States Air Force thought they were playing a war game and they were testing out electronic hijacking technology. And they were able to switch, actually, through the command center in Cheyenne Mountain to a real attack.
Now, when you say they, David, who might they be?
Going back up that food chain, you remember I mentioned earlier that the Teachers Private Equity Group.
Right.
Right. The Teachers is a $380 billion fund. It's the largest private pension fund in the world. In 1989, it was passed into private equity custody. And basically, a small group of people, and they described themselves as 50 prominent individuals, of which I know the names of 28. I don't know the names of the 22. They took the pension fund of the professors and faculty members of America's finest universities, and they moved into what is called alternative investment, which is real estate distressed debt, which is a nice name for loan sharking, and what's called event arbitrage. And that's a bit of a technical phrase, and it's not my area, but I've tried to get my head around it. If, for example, you're not getting sufficient rent to pay the mortgage on building number 7, one way of getting your money back is to insure it, knock it down.
Right.
Okay? Equally, with Towers 1 and 2, the North and South Towers, they weren't full of tenants. They were older buildings. People were moving out to different areas, you know, following the dot-com magic. You can stay at home and click on the machine, etc. And so one way of getting your money back on the 99-year lease at $3.2 billion was to insure the hell out of it, knock it over, and collect, unbelievably, George, they collected a double occurrence.
But to knock it over, you need a real excuse, or you're charged with arson, right?
Exactly, and that's where, you know, my phrase that I've sent to you separately, this manufactured shock. There were three stages to the explosions that destroyed the building. The first one was the visual shock when the planes flew into the buildings and created the fireball, and everyone was extremely impressed. But the mere fact that that fireball went out into the open air means it wasn't available to heat the steel inside the building. So there was actually very little energy left to heat the steel, right? And in the particular case of the South Tower, the flame started burning black smoke, which means not enough oxygen is getting to it, so it's probably around 600 to 700 degrees Fahrenheit. Steel melts at 2,800 degrees Fahrenheit. When those towers came down, if you look at the ejection velocity of the girders that are blown out sideways, they're blown out at about 100 miles an hour. Well, George, gravity doesn't do that.
All right. In your theory of a plan to get insurance money,
yes.
Where does Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda fit in?
Osama bin Laden... there's a very well-known Canadian, actually he's not terribly well-known, a guy called Maurice Strong who helped set up the UN Oil for Food scam. He's a Canadian guy. He was a senior advisor to the president of the World Bank. And he hates Anglosphere and the America. And he said in 1981, it was for a story he's going to write, the greatest threat to the survival of the planet are the rich industrialized countries. We have a duty to destroy them. And the way we would do that, we would take a position in the international stock markets and commodities, and we would hire mercenaries, and we would cause a panic. And Al-Qaeda are hired mercenaries.
I agree with that.
All right? I don't say that Al-Qaeda doesn't exist, but remember what bin Laden said at the beginning of this interview. He said, we have three independent networks to move our assets around. It's a cowboy outfit. You know, they can wield a box cutter, maybe an AK-47, set up a little explosive. But 9/11 was a brilliantly coordinated military project. Remember, there were three crime scenes including buildings 1 and 2, which we saw because the planes hit them, but building 7 is part of the 9/11 scenario. On floors 11, 12 and 13 were the offices of the Securities and Exchange Commission, and all the investigations into the dot-com scandals, including WorldCom, run by Citigroup, and for which Citigroup has paid $3.4 billion, was vaporized, George.
All the records, gone.
Gone, right? The chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission, Arthur Levitt, he resigned in May 2001. He became senior advisor to the Carlyle Group. The following year, he became the overseer of the Teachers National Pension Fund.
So your theory is that this fund hires Al-Qaeda, masterminds this incredible act, and it's all for a scam to make money.
No, there are two objectives, George. Going back to the arbitraged event, if you recollect, the New York Stock Exchange closed down for 4 days.
Right.
But the Chicago Mercantile Exchange on the futures market continued running.
Why is that?
Now, the reason they wanted the New York Stock Exchange to close down is when you are arbitraging, for example, and you're long in New York and you're short in Chicago Mercantile Exchange, what that means is you've got a lot of Enron stock on your hands and you need to crash the stock and sell it short, but you can only make money if the traders in New York have stopped trading, because as soon as they see that arbitrage gap grow,
I see.
They get into it, right?
I see.
And the only way you can make serious arbitrage profits in a dot-com bubble market, because they all knew that Enron and Dinergy and Quest and WorldCom and Tyco were about to burst, is to shut down the New York Stock Exchange. So they needed, and my phrase is, to manufacture a shock in New York.
Absolutely.
And make their profits in Chicago.
And I assume they did make those profits?
Oh, totally. And the guys who made the profits, the guys who made the biggest profits, were CAI, which I think is an anagram for CIA, but I'll come back to that. The CAI Private Equity Group, which manages and invests the Teachers National Pension Fund on behalf of senior faculty members across America.